The 7th annual Minnesota Wild Food Summit kicks off each year in late June. This year, the summit will take place at Little Elbow Lake on the White Earth Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota. The summit is a weekend-long camping excursion where around 100 participants come together to forage for and cook their daily tasty meals. What's the appeal, you ask? Summit coordinator Robert Schimmick explains why so many voluntarily forage for their lives.
The thing that people really ought to know when they start using wild foods is how incredibly good you feel.
And those who are in on the secret need to be able to find each other.
You know, you could feel like an oddball sometimes being into wild food, but at the Wild Food Summit, you don't feel that way.
That was Sam Thayer. Sam has been fascinated with wild food foraging all his life. He writes guides on wild foods native to both Minnesota and Wisconsin. And he's returning for his 5th Wild Food Summit this year.
We talk about how they're used for food, their traditional uses, the ecology of the plants, how you would sustainably harvest them, the time of year that you would collect them, and if they're in season and we deem that it's appropriate, there's enough of the plant, we'll collect stuff. And we have all of our walks usually come back with something to contribute to the day's meal. So we're not only talking about edible wild plants, but we're actually doing it, which is, I think, the greatest benefit, you know, to the whole thing for people. Because I always tell people that if I just tell them about a plant, they'll probably forget. But if they collect the plant and eat it, they're likely to remember. And if they like it, they'll have it for the rest of their life if they want to use it.
Sam admits it's a niche hobby. He describes his experience with the Food Summit as a cross between going to school and being on vacation. Sam likes the Wild Food Summit because it brings the scattered community of wild food lovers together.
People are free to go on their own excursions and look for plants together or go bird watching or whatever. It's structured, but it's not so structured that you feel like your time is all taken up.
Sam will be leading several workshops this year, along with Tom Peterson, also known as the Mushroom Guy. Tom's favorite part of the Food Summit is the food. He claims one of his own dishes as his favorite of all time.
Wild mushroom, wild leeks, buffalo stew.
What Tom also likes about the summit is the community that develops almost seamlessly on its own.
Everybody is encouraged to, you know, help out.
Tom says there is no formal leader of the summit to delegate tasks. The group just relies on each other to seek out what is needed and do their equal part.
As people come back from seminar, you know, they may, you know, what can I do to help get this next meal going? Well, maybe they have to crack some walnuts or something like that and grind that into powder because Francois is going to need that for bread making. Everybody helps.
Last year, Robert Schimmick took this idea of community even further and started the tradition of a summit talent show. It was such a hit, it's back again this year by popular demand. Robert had more to say about the summit culture that emerges each year.
There is a culture that builds and evolves, and it's interesting to watch it because, you know, you have a bunch of Native people, you have a bunch of non-Native people. It's interesting how, you know, a lot of folks can just set aside a lot of stuff and talk about food, and specifically the importance of wild foods. The networking, you know, if that's all you did was sat there and in the camp and talk to other people, that in and of itself is a hugely valuable experience.
The Minnesota Wild Food Summit is one of only 3 in the entire U.S. The Minnesota event has hosted participants from all corners of the country, including Maryland, California, and Texas. More information can be found at wildfoodsummit.org. For KFAI Radio, I'm Michelle Alimorati.
"10,000 Fresh Voices" on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.